Hello, and welcome to the media outreach of Faith Alive Ministries. For over 30 years, Faith Alive Ministries has continued to answer the call to teach God's people how to live in this world. This charismatic teaching ministry has current bases of operation in both Oklahoma and Arizona. We are honored to share the gospel in the northeastern Oklahoma prison system, as well as in church gatherings and evangelistic outreaches around the country. We believe the message you're about to hear will inspire and encourage you and empower you to live the abundant life God has for you. Join with us now as we receive from the Word of God.
We do have a great big God, don't we?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Well, hallelujah. Well, that's just hard to believe. It's been a year since we did this. Time gets by in a hurry, don't it? Or is it just me? Am I getting too old? Remember what day it is? I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, I'm a simple fella. So I want to keep it a little bit simple this afternoon. I'm a simple fella with a whole bunch of electronic junk. Here we go. My Bible crashed a couple of weeks ago, you know? You ever had that happen?
Yeah.
It's disconcerting, you know, when you've gotten so used to preaching off of a piece of glass. And then it just quit. It made kind of the screen kind of looked like somebody blew up a bomb on it, and black stuff went everywhere. Oh no, now what do I do? But I discovered inside my pulpit there was actually a book. With paper and stuff. You know, it worked just fine.
Oh, great.
Amen. But I got my tablet back. So if you have yours with you, you can join me as we turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Have you noticed lately, anybody watched the news and noticed that the world is in a mess? Is it just me, or does it seem like the wheels are coming off? What was I watching? I was watching some news program, you know, they had a whole bunch of people that were supposed to be so smart up there talking about the news, and they were talking about the Russians were coming and that they made a compact with Iran, and that Iran was moving troops into Syria, and that the Russians were now flying bombing missions over Syria. And one of the ladies said, do you think they, you know, Iran has said they want to destroy Israel, so do you think the Russians are interested in Israel? And the guy, I forget what his name was. He's supposed to be a smart guy. He says, no, Israel doesn't have anything to worry about. Have you got a Bible? You know, in Ezekiel 38, it talks about the Gog and Magog coming down from the north. Remember that? That's Russia. And it comes down through Togarma. That's Turkey. And goes over to, I forget what they call Persia, but Iran. And then comes right down through Syria and invades Israel. If you look at it on the map, they're slowly but surely conquering everything between them and Israel. And what's next when you get to Syria? The Golan Heights, which is the northern end of Israel that has been disputed lands now since 1960-something. And to say that they're not interested in Israel, I think, is to just completely throw away the prophetic significance of what's going on. But the great battle of Ezekiel 38 could happen this afternoon without much provocation. So to think that the world is not in a mess, I think, is to just kind of ignore what's going on. Ephesians chapter 2. You got the camera all set up over
We're
there?
We're getting you.
I'll move.
No, you can move anywhere you want to.
I'm going to bring my table.
We'll follow you.
There we go. I want to be on camera, man.
Okay.
Come on.
You don't have a choice. You're going to
get on TV.
All right.
Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read the first three verses. Verse 1 says, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. How many could say amen to that?
Amen.
You used to live, okay. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. Those three verses kind of sum up the condition of mankind without Jesus. Sometimes we forget that without the Lord, everybody is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I was listening to one of the politicians the other day saying, well, you know, I can't think about the condition of people's hearts and their intentions, but we can pass laws to control them. I said, okay, you know what? Yeah. That ain't going to work. Right. God tried that and it didn't work. So if it didn't work for him,
it didn't work for God.
If you're going to try to control a society by passing laws, you're going to have one cop for every person.
And then if you got crooked cops,
then you got to have somebody to watch the cops. That's right. Why? Because man's heart condition is wrong. There's something wrong on the inside. It doesn't matter how many bridles you put on that horse. It's still a sorry horse. Amen. Anybody ever tried to ride a horse, hadn't been broke by just putting a bridle and a saddle on him? You still got work to do once you get that on there. And it's going to be a bouncy ride. And that's what happens with people. We try to control people using the wrong means from the outside in. Any attempt to control men from the outside in is doomed to failure. And in a society that's based entirely on the laws that control people from the outside is going to be chaotic and rebellious.
Yes.
Amen. And that pretty much describes where we live today. But he says we were all dead because of our disobedience and our sins, and we lived in sin just like the rest of the world. He says the rest of the world, of course, was obeying the devil. Sometimes we forget that because we run across the occasional unsaved person who seems like a pretty nice guy. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're not. It says they're all obeying the devil. And if the Bible says it, then that must be the way that is. That tells me this, that their behavior, if it is good, is because either they were trained as a kid, because sometimes it takes a while to overcome what you were trained to do. Amen. How many of you got a dog? I got a dog. As long as I'm watching him, he's well trained. But if I'm gone for any length of time, he's convinced I'm not coming back. It kind of wears off of him after a while. I'm gone for 2 or 3 weeks, I come back, he's completely forgot everything I ever taught him. It takes me 2 or 3 days to get him back, and so he's controllable again. Why? Because his heart's not right. He's a dog. As much as I love him dearly, he's totally and completely obsessed with his own self-interest. Kind of like most people. Amen. He has to be convinced once again that it's in his self-interest to do what I tell him. Once he figures that out, then he's pretty good to go until I disappear for a few days again. That's the way law works. That's the way the heart of man works. You can train him for a little while, but if you leave him without external constraints for a while, it'll wear off. And what's on the inside will come out.
Yes.
Right. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
We forget that sometimes. We think we're going to pass a political bill or something that's going to fix everything. No, it's not. People are evil.
People are evil.
Amen. I don't mean to be unkind, but... I don't know about you, but I was a sinner before I was saved. Sometimes you get around church people, you know, and you wonder. Anybody ever had somebody that you felt like they were, they thought they were doing God a favor by coming to church?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You need to throw them off your board, Debbie. Huh?
Okay.
Now, I've had a few. The first church I pastored, I inherited.
Oh, no.
And there had been three, maybe four pastors there before me, and they just about killed them. Then they nearly killed me. But I had guys on my board that I thought, well, we're gonna just fight, you know, because they were of that mindset that, you know, I'm really doing God a favor by coming here and working in this this position to take care of this church for Him, you know. And it took me a while to get them trained to the notion that maybe God could survive without them. Amen. As a matter of fact, some of them had to prove that by leaving.
Oh.
Amen. But all people were sinners before they were saved. Amen.
That's right.
And none of us is doing God a favor by getting saved. He's doing us a favor by offering us the opportunity. It's called grace.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So everybody was in that condition. But here he's writing to Christians. He said, you used to be dead like all these folks in your trespasses and sin. And they were all controlled by the devil. How did he control them? It says he controlled them by the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind. Think about that for a minute. Where the devil works in people is, number one, through their flesh. Amen. Right.
Amen.
Through physical fleshly desires, which are not in themselves sinful.
That's right.
Amen. It's not sinful to have a sexual attraction. Amen. God designed it that way, but He also put some parameters in place.
Yes.
It's the same thing with every aspect of life. He gave us all things for our pleasure. It says that we would enjoy them. But if we abuse them or use them outside of the way He designed it, then it's going to be a problem for us. The devil's real good at making it sound good. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if one was good, probably five would be better. Come on. You can fill in whatever five or whatever you like. Mm-hmm. But it always works that way. I used to go pass out tracts. There was a place in Oklahoma City. It used to be called the Deep Deuce. It was a bunch of old gin joints and prostitutes and drug dealers, and it was just down on Second Street. It was a mess. It's beautiful now. They tore it down, replaced it with a bunch of nice nightclubs and restaurants.
Nice nightclubs.
Yeah, nice nightclubs. Upper, you know, without boards over the windows, those kinds. But there was one little place down there. It had a wooden board up over the door. It was the sign told you what the name of it was, and it was always a little bit off, you know, just a little crooked. It was hand-painted, you know, obviously hand-painted. Somebody with a paintbrush had written the name of the bar up there. The name of the bar was the Doing It to Death Cafe. But I always thought, isn't that a perfect description of what the flesh will do if you will just let it go?
Uh-huh.
If you just turn it loose and let it have its way, it will eventually kill itself.
Yeah.
Come on. Amen. Well, that's the nature of lost man. And the devil controls people by just giving them that simple formula. That one was pretty good. Five would be great. That's why they make them in six packs.
Uh-oh.
Come on. Amen. So the devil, if he can't get you by leading you with your flesh, then he'll work, it says here, on the desires of your mind. How many of you know that when you come to Christ, your mind is still a little messed up? He's telling Christians here, you got to be careful, not just about the lust of the flesh, but about your goofy thinking. Amen. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Goofy thinking. Because just because you got saved and all of a sudden I loved when I got saved. Because I had a lot to get saved from. You know? And I was just glad to know that the Lord had taken care of that I was born again, that the blood had washed away my sin. Glory to God. What a great deal. But I discovered the next day my thinking was still goofy. Because I didn't know much about the Scripture, about the ways of God, and it took some time to learn that because my head was fouled up, and so was yours. If you haven't been in the Word and you haven't been studying your Bible and you haven't been learning how God thinks about things, then chances are it's still fouled up because there's only one place I know of to go to learn how God thinks about things, and that's to His holy revealed Word.
Amen.
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 So, all of us can still be, as Christians, controlled just like people were before they were saved, by the lust of our flesh and the desires of our goofy thinking. Everybody say goofy thinking.
Goofy thinking.
Come on, one more time.
Goofy thinking.
There we go. He says in verse 3, he said that our very nature required that we be subject to God's anger, that we were subject to wrath because our nature as an unsaved person was, as a child or a son, he said, of disobedience. That means the offspring of Adam's fall. Adam really messed us up. In our church, we call it the Adam thing. Every time something happens, it's the Adam thing. It is the Adam thing. Amen? We had some friends down in Hermosillo, or just outside of Hermosillo, south of here, you know, in Sonora, and they had big floods down there the other day. And somebody was saying, well, you know, the Lord was just doing something with those floods. No, that wasn't the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Amen. Flood, the only time you find floods coming, it came in judgment from the Lord. I don't think God was judging the Hermosillo. It would just rain. Why do natural disasters happen? The Bible says it happened because of that Adam thing. Amen. The earth didn't kill people prior to that. Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Heard a few years ago, you know, people were saying that God was judging New Orleans. God sent that hurricane over there. No, He didn't. Amen. If he was going to destroy every city that was full of sin, there wouldn't be any left.
That's right.
My heavens, I've been to New Orleans and I've been to New York, and I don't think it's even close. New York is worse. Amen. Because the food's better in New Orleans. You get a certain amount of grace for having good food.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No, it's because of that Adam thing. It set the world off its rocker. Even the earth itself groans, seeking the day when the Lord comes back and renews and refreshes the earth through the way it was designed to be in the first place. Amen. So, we were subject to God's wrath just like everybody else. Everybody was in that condition, following the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It's good for us to get that through our head, because otherwise we'll forever be wandering around wondering why things happen. Why did they flood those people in Arimathea? Because of Adam. Amen. Wasn't anything anybody down there did in particular. I know some wonderful Christian people down there whose houses got flooded. Well, was God mad at them? I hope not, because he's mad at them. I'm in serious trouble. They're really good people. Amen. Amen. If he goes to giving us all what we deserve based on our behavior and the attitudes of our heart, we are all going to be toast for morning. Amen. By grace were you saved, and by grace are you still breathing.
Yes.
Amen. So, our actions then, in these passages, he says, are molded by two external conditions. The course of this world, the world around us, has a way it operates because the devil controls people through the lust of their flesh and the desires of their mind. So the world operates in a certain way, controlled and directed by the devil, so that the things that drive the world system, the way people around us think, is always driven by selfishness, greed, and lust. There's an old saying, you know, among police people, when a crime is committed, they say, if you want to find out who's guilty, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason for that statement. Because usually, money, power, and sex are driving everything that's happening around us in the world. It's not altruism or a desire to bless people. It's all about whoever's got some power trying to use the power to get what they want right now for them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're children of their father, the devil. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to him? I'm not trying to be harsh here, but we need to remember that when we're watching what's going on around us in the world. People are driven by the course of this world. 1 John chapter 2, he said, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all that's there. 1 John 2:15. Amen. There isn't anything else in the world but lust, and pride. Really? That's it? He said also, besides the course of the world around us, people are controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's the devil. The one who's in charge of the spirits that are in the atmosphere around the earth. You understand this, that the area around the earth, the air around us literally, is generally speaking, unless there's some Christians around that have prayed it off, inhabited by demon spirits. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenly places, the Bible said. Amen.
Amen.
You don't like to hear all that stuff, but there it is anyway. Demon spirits inhabit the heavens around us, the air, the atmosphere around us, whether we like to believe it or not. And the devil is the ruler of all the demonic influences around the world. So his evil empire is constantly moving to try and govern the earth through the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind. Now, the disturbing thing about this passage in Ephesians is it was written to Christians. It was written mm-hmm. to Christians to warn them that they too can be driven by those things. Fortunately, he goes on to let us know we don't have to be. We'll get there in just a minute. It's an admonition to avoid living like those who are around us in the world. Then the basis of our problem as being unsaved was not just our actions, it was who we are. We're the wrong kind of people. Basically selfish and attempting at all times to get what we need or we want. Amen. I was counseling with a young couple this morning, getting ready to get married. And the young man was in prison for 6 years. And while he was in prison, the young lady, they knew each other before, had a child together. But the young man said, when he got out of prison, he came back and he asked her to marry him. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you see in her that it makes you want her to marry? Because they were both drug users, you know, before. While he was in jail, she got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, been serving the Lord for a couple of years now, doing really well. And he said, well, she has all the things I liked about her before, but now she's not so mean. Amen. What happened? She got saved. Praise God. He said, she used to be the most selfish person you've ever seen. And now she's just right kind. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, it ought to change us and change that selfish, self-centered nature that drives humanity. All attempts to control behavior from the outside are doomed to failure, not because the rules are bad, but because men are. Amen. Humans are bad. That's the problem, not the rules. Politics fails because it deals entirely with human behavior. Psychology fails because it tries to figure out the mind from a natural standpoint and teach people to think about things differently, and that works until they just decide they'd rather have what they want. Religion fails because it's a futile attempt to pretend to be godly by outward trappings. Amen. Men have been trying to do that since early on. You remember the Garden of Eden? What was the first thing Adam did after God busted him, you know, for the fruit eating episode? He was walking in the garden. You remember what Adam did? He said, "Get some fig leaves, man. Eve, go pick some fig leaves. Let's try to sew these leaves together and cover our nakedness." Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was the first attempt at church without God. Covering your nakedness, covering your sin by your own efforts and best ideas. I think I used to go to that church, actually. But it doesn't work very well. I just want you to think about it for a minute. The next time you want to do a little experiment, go find a tree. We live in Arizona. It's hard to find trees with leaves. Oh, I got little spines and stuff on them. But if you can find a tree with some leaves on it, try sewing them together sometime and see how well you think that'll work for clothes. I mean, think about it for a minute. First of all, it's only going to last for 3 or 4 hours until they dry out a little bit. And then the next wind comes by, it's all over. Somebody come by with a match, you're really in trouble. Amen. That's how religion is. It tries to cover our nakedness or our sin through our own best efforts. Yeah. God came along and said, here, let me kill something and shed some blood and give you something that can cover that sin.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So religion fails because it's just futile to attempt to cover your own nakedness before God. In order to have a nature change, Jesus summed it up real clearly, didn't he? He said, don't you marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You got to start over from scratch by changing who you are, because that's the problem. Let's go down to Ephesians 2 again and keep reading for a minute. God had a remarkable plan to deal with man's lost and fallen condition. Mm-hmm. Verse 4, he said, God is so rich in mercy,
yes. And
he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life
yes. When
he raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
It's only by God's grace that you've been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus.
Woo!
Oh,
yay!
Glory to God.
Amen.
Not we're trying to be, not we're striving to be, not we're going to the special after church class to find out how to be, but we are united
yes. With
Christ Jesus. That
Amen.
Is a good deal, brother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It says he did that so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. You see, God wants to spend eternity bragging on what he has done for us because of his kindness. He wants the whole universe to be in awe of just how blessed you are.
Amen.
Why? Because he gets glory from you being blessed. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. That's a good thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. So it says he's rich in mercy. I like that. The word rich means he overflows. Plousios. It means over, you know, like good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The idea of running over is the word rich. That means too much. Everybody say too much.
Too much.
Aren't you glad that God has too much mercy?
Woo!
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. All the things it could have said that he has too much of, I'm so glad it was mercy.
Yes.
Amen. Remember in the Old Testament, they used to sing all the time, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy
endures forever."
I'm convinced that that's God's favorite song. I'm convinced of that because go back and look through the Psalms and all the way back into the Kings, and then when they're talking about dedicating the temple, and Jeremiah when he was talking about the temple in the heavenly Jerusalem. Every single time, remember Jehoshaphat when they were leading the army out and they put the singers in front of the army. Mm-hmm. That really sounds stupid, but it worked.
Yeah.
Put the singers in front of the army and destroyed three armies that were coming against him. What were they singing? For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. So like every time God told them what to sing, that was what they sang. And every time they sang it, the presence of God showed up.
Yes.
Amen. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now of all the things that he could have said endures forever, I'm so glad it was his mercy.
Yes.
Aren't you glad he didn't say his judgment endureth forever?
Yeah.
His anger endureth forever. Come on. No, he said his mercy endureth forever. Because he is rich in mercy. Because he just has an overflow and an overabundance of mercy. Mercy is the characteristic of his nature that God chose to amplify, to glorify, and to extol. It said because of his great love toward us, he reached out to us and made us alive together with Christ. His nature compels him to make provision for us in our wanderings. Think about that for a minute. I don't know about your testimony, but my testimony, I look back across the years of my life when I was serving the devil, and I see so many moments when you just know God was in his mercy taking care of this poor bumbling idiot. Really. There's no excuse for me being alive other than God's mercy was at work. He just had mercy laying around the house. And he said, look at that poor fool. If somebody don't have mercy on him, he's going to kill his own self before somebody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mercy led us to the cross of Calvary. Mercy was hung on Calvary on our behalf. Mercy, it says, raised us from the dead. And it was all because of his great love.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to dance here in just a minute. Amen. He said he did it by making us alive together with him, changing who we are, giving us the life that Jesus had when he walked on the earth. Remember that? John chapter 5, remember he said, he that believes in me has already passed from death into life.
Yes.
Glory to God. Our life, our eternal life, dear friends, doesn't begin when we die or when the Lord comes back. Our eternity began the day we said Jesus is Lord and the transformation took place on the inside of us. One of these days we'll step out of this body if the Lord tarries. Amen. But that's not death. That's just changing clothes.
Amen.
Come on. And then we'll wait around until the resurrection comes and we'll get a much better version of this old suit. Hallelujah. We get the Hart, Schaffner, and Marx version, not the JCPenney version. Amen. We get the good stuff. Amen. Just like Jesus had a glorified body. Amen. He still has a body. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He's the only mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
He still has a body, but the Bible says it's a glorious body.
Yes.
Still has flesh and bone, it said, when he came and visited them after the resurrection. Amen. He said, touch it, see? You'll see it. You can feel it. It's a body, all right, but it doesn't have blood. I shed that. It's flesh and bone. I got glory in my veins, and it's a wonderful, wonderful body, and we've got a body like unto his glory. Body, Philippians chapter 3 said, amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to walking through the walls. He went to walking through walls. Now, he can't let us do that until after he comes back for us. Because if we had the power to do that now, we'd make a terrible mess. You know that, don't you? We'd be walking in places we got no business going.
Yeah.
Seeing stuff we got no business seeing. Come on now, and telling people ain't got no business knowing. Hallelujah. You can't be letting us walk through walls yet. So we got to wait for a while, yeah?
Amen.
But we'll have a glorious body like unto His glorious body. That's going to happen because the life of God that's on the inside of us. I'm a believer in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. When I first got saved, you know, everybody's fighting like dogs about that, you know, like a dog's over a bone. Is he coming then? Is he coming then? Is he coming then? And everybody I talked to seemed like they knew what they was talking about, you know. And every time you talk to them, they get their Bible out and show you all these verses. You know, yeah, he's right. No, you're right. No, but what I came away with was, you know, Jesus is coming and he's going to take me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I want to be geared up, ready to go, have my bags packed and everything when he gets here. He's coming. I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. Amen. But I always had this picture, you know, from watching all the rapture movies and stuff, you know, when the horn blows, there's going to be, it's kind of like, going to be kind of like Star Trek. You know, there'd be this beam come down from the sky, like, beam me up, Jesus. But it's not going to work like that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, we're going to be swallowed up with life. Well, where's life going to come from? Life's not up there. Life's in here. Woo! The life of God that's on the inside of us is going to overtake this old mortal body and infuse it entirely from every little toenail to every hair follicle with the life of God. And we're only going to go boom and blow right straight literally up. Amen. The power that will carry us to heaven in the rapture is coming from the inside out, not the outside in. Why? Because God always works from the inside out, not the outside in. And He put the life of Jesus Christ Himself on the inside of us. And one of these days, it is going to overflow and just blow us up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you ready? I'm ready. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. So that's how that works. He gave us the very life of God on the inside. And it says in verses 5 and 6 that He declared us to be righteous.
Yes.
Amen. Or in Romans chapter 5, it said He gave us a righteousness that has nothing to do with the law. That's hard for most people to wrap their head around. He said a righteousness that is apart from the law. Romans chapter 3, the word apart means completely separated. There's nothing connecting the two. The law, your keeping of the works of the law, has absolutely nothing to do with your righteousness. They are irrelevant. They're not connected to each other.
Amen.
So we've been declared righteous and infused with the life of God. In verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2, he tells us how that happens. He said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How did you get it? By faith.
Amen.
How did it come? He gave it to you for nothing.
Uh-huh.
That's the definition of grace. He gave it to you for nothing. He gave it to you because of His great love. He gave you salvation, offered it before you, not because of who you are, not because you're so pretty or so intelligent, or even that you have such great potential. He did it simply because of who He is, and the only thing you did to get it was take it.
Yes.
Amen. That's a simple definition of faith. Take it.
Amen.
God offers it. Take it. Amen. Take it.
Amen.
So, the requirement is so simple that we miss it. Salvation comes to us by grace as a free gift. It's received by faith. Hallelujah. And it's so simple, we didn't even have to believe the whole Bible. We just had to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Amen. I love Romans 10:9. I've always been grateful for my teenage years as a Baptist because I knew Romans 10:9.
Amen.
Inside out, upside down, sideways. In order to get saved at the Baptist church, you had to be able to fill out the deacon card. That's what they call it.
The deacon card.
They give the altar call. You came to the altar and they give you a card to fill out. Then you hand it to the deacon and he would pray the prayer on the back of the card with you and check it off to make sure you'd pray. Sign you up for baptism the next Sunday night. Amen. That was the process. Amen. But on the card was Romans 10:9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The only thing that ever struck me about that as being important was the fact there's no small print. Amen. It's not like a, you know, on a contract or something where you sign your name and then down underneath it says you should read all of this. It's got 7 pages of stuff. You have to have a microscope to see. Kind of like the guy on the radio, you know, that says, well, you should take this pill for your nose hair. And if you do, just remember, it might kill you. You're going to bleed, and then your ears are all going to fall off. And then remember that he talks real fast at the end of the commercial? That's verbal small print. They don't want you to be able to hear. Say this with me. I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
Say it again.
I'm a new creation.
Say, I'm created in righteousness.
I'm created in righteousness.
I'm created in true holiness.
I'm created in true holiness.
I am created to do good works.
I'm created to do good works.
I'm guided by love.
I'm guided by love.
And I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit.
And I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, glory to God. Romans chapter 6, the fourth verse, is kind of the one of the keynote verses in our ministry over these years, where Paul was talking about when you get baptized. Remember verse 3, he said, don't you know? Don't you know that you died with Christ? Amen. You were crucified with him, buried with him in verse 4 through baptism into death. And I love the last phrase, raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, glory to God. There's something that happens when we obey God in that water baptism, when we put to death that old man and put him in the grave, and when we come up on the other side of that water grave, it says we are raised by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and the purpose of that resurrection power on the inside of us is so we can walk in the new life that He has given us. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to do some baptism. Are we going to baptize tomorrow? I hope so. I'm preaching on baptism tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm bringing a hose. If you don't bring a poo, I'm going to water them all down. Amen. Keep the dust from coming up anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. But we're going to baptize whoever's needing to be baptized tomorrow. But if you've been saved, and or you've been backslidden and just came back to the Lord, or you know somebody that has, and they haven't been water baptized, they need to be. Why? Because there's power in it.
Yeah.
Buried with Him through baptism into death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. If people who haven't been baptized have a hard time walking in newness of life, come on, because they haven't set their faith, they haven't become doers of the Word and set their faith on the power that's in that wonderful, 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 I hate to call it a ritual, practice, ordinance of being baptized because of our faith in Jesus. Amen. We're going to do that tomorrow. If you would, stand up with me. Say this with me. I've been created righteous.
I've been created righteous.
I'm at peace with God.
I'm at peace with God.
I'm standing in grace.
I'm standing in grace.
I'm filled with His love.
I'm filled with His love.
I'm walking in new life.
I'm walking in new life.
The Spirit teaches me who I am.
The Spirit teaches me who I am.
And He always leads me in victory.
And He always leads me in victory.
I'm redeemed from the curse.
I'm redeemed from the curse.
Full of the Spirit.
Full of the Spirit.
I'm blessed with Abraham.
I'm blessed with Abraham.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
And an heir according to the covenant.
And an heir according to the covenant.
I'm adopted.
I'm adopted.
I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
I'm holy.
I'm holy.
I'm blameless.
I'm blameless.
I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
And I'm sealed.
And I'm sealed.
I'm no longer a stranger.
I'm no longer a stranger.
But I'm a member of the household of God.
But I'm a member of the household of God.
I'm part of the temple that He's building.
I'm part of the temple that He's building.
And His presence abides in me.
And His presence abides in me.
Amen. Brother Lord, you can have it back.
Hallelujah. Glory
Amen.
To God.
That concludes our message. This message is copyrighted by Faith Alive Ministries and may not be reproduced for commercial or resale purposes. Duplication by individuals for the purpose of sharing the gospel is permitted. However, this copyright notice must accompany all copies made. For additional information and teaching resources, please write to Faith Alive Ministries, P.O. Box 321, Pryor, Oklahoma 74362. Or you may visit our website at www.faithalivefellowship.net. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.